Over these weeks, we just take a little bit of time to look at some of the wells that we find in Scripture. And over this week and most likely next week, so I want to look at the wells being a place of divine encounter, a place where God meets with us, a place that he sets us up for a fresh encounter with him. And I want to look at Genesis 24 of when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Abraham, in Genesis 24 verse 1, Abraham was now very old and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And he said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." It's a reminder that covenant is really so important. It's the strongest form of a promise. And that was something that Abraham knew so very, very well. How God had made a covenant with him. And it was an unbreakable covenant because it had been made by God alone. It wasn't made by two parties. It wasn't them coming together, each with their strengths and weaknesses, but God made it in all his strength. He made that covenant with Abraham. And the covenant was for him, and it was from his family. It was for his descendants. In fact, covenant is really big on family. It's the joining together of families. And for every born-again Christian, God has brought us into his family, into covenant relationship with him. And so Abraham understood that if Isaac were to marry within the Canaanite family, it would open up danger, it would open up compromise. It would call into question the fulfillment of God's covenant promises. In effect, it would take him outside of the covenant. It's a reminder that it is important who we covenant with. And so the servant asked Abraham, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? She'll then take your son back to the country you've come from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there." I just love this fact. Abraham had a promise from God that had been confirmed time and again. And most recently it had been confirmed when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac. And you remember that story. He had no doubt that God had promised to him and his descendants this land, the land that he was living in. And it was not going to come about through intermarriage. It was going to come about through God fulfilling, outworking his covenant promises to them. And that is still the principle that we need to live by. God will affirm his promises to us. In fact, Abraham believed that an angel was going to go ahead and prepare the way. I kind of love that. God still uses angels. Listen to the way it's put in Hebrews, in Hebrews 1, 14. "What role then do angels have? Angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved." I love the way God sends those. Personally, I don't believe that we should try and instruct angels what to do. God was much more capable of doing that and doing a much better job of it. But you know, we all need to be living in such a way that the angels are kept busy in a positive way, not constantly getting out of a scrape, but that we give them plenty of work to be doing. "As if the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine, and you do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go to draw water. And then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. That's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? It's simple, but very confident. And he talks about kindness, which is this word hesed, is a covenant word, speaking of God's covenant kindness, God's covenant love. It's a word that is repeated throughout the Old Testament. Wherever you read of God's kindness, it's this word hesed. It's the equivalent of agape love that we see in the New Testament. It's a precious God-giver, God-based love. And so as he prays, he says, see, I'm standing beside this spring, a spring being a well fed by a spring. And the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. That's also a reminder of what the purpose of well. We need to draw from the wells that God provides. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And this was a clear but a very significant test. Because if you remember, he had come there with 10 camels. And they would most likely have been 10 very thirsty camels, having travelled a long distance through challenging conditions. And just one thirsty camel can drink 30 gallons at a go. And he had 10 camels. Now that would be a lot of water, but had to be drawn out of that well.
So that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And it was also going to demonstrate something of the character of this woman, young woman, who was willing to thinking 300 gallons just for the camels. That's a lot of dipping into the well. That's a lot of water to be drawn out. But before he had finished praying, just don't you love those prayers that happen like that? Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was a wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin, no man had ever slept with her. And she went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. And the servant hurried to meet her, and he said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. And after she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. And when the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a becker and 2 bracelets weighing 10 shekels. This was a sizable gift. Not that that was her motive. She got no idea that he was going to give her such a gift, but I think perhaps it did get the attention of her brother Laban, as Isaac's son was, Jacob was later discovered many years later. So then he asked, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? And she answered him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of that Milcah bore to Nahor. And she added, we've plenty of straw and fodder, as well as a room for you to spend the night. Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. Because, you know, this young woman, Rebecca, the one fulfilling this man's prayer, was the daughter of Abraham's nephew. In fact, we were told about her a little earlier, just after in Genesis 22, where you have that test of Abraham, where he was called to sacrifice his son, and then, as you know, God intervened and he provided the ram as the sacrifice that was going to point towards Jesus. But then you get a fun little postscript to that account there in Genesis 22. You just get a little note saying, oh, Abraham, sometime later, Abraham was told Milcah is also a mother and she's born sons to your brother Nahor, Bethuel, who became the father of Rebekah. You're thinking, what has that got to do with anything at that time? But the point was that God was saying, I've got a plan. It's all in place. I've already prepared for the future wife for your son, Isaac, in the years to come. And I love the way that God makes those plans for things in our lives many years in advance. And there may be, and most likely are, almost certainly are still things to come in your life, in your situation, that God has planned. He's put into place all that is necessary for those things to be fulfilled at the perfect time. And I love the response of Abraham's servant when all this came into place, having seen this prayer, this request fulfilled, having heard the news of the family connection and all those things, what does he do? He worships. Worship is such a key, isn't it? Worship needs to be the first response that we make when God hears and answers prayer, when we receive the things that he has for us. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he'd seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, he thought, I'll get in on this act. And he heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her. He went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. Come, you who are blessed by the Lord, he said. Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. Then tell us, Laban said. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. I just love that picture. God had abundantly blessed Abraham, and all that he had was being passed on to Isaac. And you know, each of us has been blessed by God. We need to just take time to just be mindful of all the blessings God has for us. And the question is, what are we preparing to pass on to the next generation? For some, that would be our children, our grandchildren. For others, it might be nephews and nieces, or simply just the next generation. And of course, it need not be money or other material things. The greatest gift that we have to pass on is God himself. I know you pray very much for family, for those dear to you, close to you. One of the things I do, I may have said it before, I pray Isaiah 59:11 over our children and their partners, over our grandchildren, their future partners, over the generations yet to be born. Of course, you all know what that says, and I'll read it to you. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is in you and my words that I put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. That's the prayer I pray, the promise I declare. It's a covenant promise. That's what Scripture says, when you get hold of something that comes alive, you just know that's a word for you. You need to pray. You need to declare it. I pray that over, say, the family of the children, grandchildren, over those yet to come. It's a good prayer to pray. So coming back to this story, my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. And then I asked my master, what if the woman would not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success. I love his confidence about that. And again, he just reminds about this angel. There's a book, I haven't read it, I just love the title, Angels on Assignment. Can't remember who wrote that now, but I just love that. There are angels on assignment in your life, in my life, in our lives. God's set angels on ahead of us. I just love that. And we're going to see it. God is good and he is faithful. God will make our journey, our life journey, a success as we trust in him. The Lord before whom I've walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and my father's family. You will be released from my oath. If when you go to my clan, they refuse to give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey in which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your car. And if she says to me, drink and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Then he says, before I finish praying in my heart. I think that was interesting. He was praying in his heart. This was not a loud spoken prayer. No one overheard his prayer. It was a prayer that he prayed that only God heard. And you know, sometimes we need to pray like that. It kind of can be easy, perhaps, to pray a prayer in front of others that we might think might be the answer to our prayer. Lord, you know that I've got this bill that I can't pay right now. I pray that you will provide, I hope you're listening to this, I pray that you will provide this money. I can pray, you know, we can pray those sorts of prayers. Isn't that amazing? This person just felt led to give me some money. Wasn't that wonderful? It's so much more wonderful when we just put the prayer before God. And he answers that prayer. It can be no one else. It's just lovely when God does that. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, please give me a drink. And she quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink and I'll water your camels too. So I drank and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arm, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get to the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. I just love that. We need to trust God to lead us on the right road as we commit ourselves to that leading, to take us where we need to get to. God would do that. We don't have to try and persuade God. God, you realize where I need to get to. You know, as if God doesn't need our help to guide us. He prompts us. He will lead us. He will take us where we need to go as we put our trust, as we put our confidence, as we put our life and future into him. He led us, me, on the right road to get the granddaughter, my master's brother, for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me so I may know which way to turn. And Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah, take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed. Can you imagine in our various situations that we live in, things taking place, that those who we come into contact with us have to say, there's only one explanation to what I've just seen, what has just happened. It has to be God's. How wonderful that we're just so carrying His presence that it brings people that there can be no other explanation. Although even for Laban and Bethuel, even though they said it's God, that they still sat on the fence. They still kind of didn't take the responsibility for it. So when Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. And then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. It was kind of like a dowry that was given at that time. And then he and the men who were with him ate and drank. This is like a covenant sealing of what was going on. And they spent the night there. And when they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But a brother and a mother replied, "Let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me. Now the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master." You know, it is so important that we don't delay in completing what God has got for us to do. I mean, those 10 days could have extended into many more days, into months even. It's so easy that we can talk ourselves out of doing things when we delay, and I know I can certainly do that. And Jesus himself, he understood that there was a cost involved if people were to follow him. Luke records a conversation that Jesus had there in Luke 9. There he said, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Sounded great, didn't it? And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." In other words, if we really are going to follow Jesus, it might be an uncomfortable journey, an uncomfortable future, but hugely rewarding. He said to another man, "Follow me," but he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." This was not Jesus being heartless. His father hadn't just died and he was organizing the funeral. He was really saying, it's not a great time just now. Maybe once my father has died, a few years' time, many years' time, call me again. Maybe that would be the right time. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." Interesting, wasn't it? When surprise came, if you remember his story, he never did say goodbye to his family. In fact, it was important that he went at a moment's notice. If he hadn't done that, there would be no story to tell. There would be no future for him. Perhaps they were simply, really what they were saying is, let's see what my family say about this. Let's see if my family are okay with me taking this action. There is a cost, isn't there? There is a cost to family when we respond to what Jesus asks us to do. He said, "Do not detain me now the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so that I may go to my master." And they said, "Let's call the young woman and ask her about it." So they called Rebekah and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. Think for a moment what that was going to mean. She was going to have to leave her family. She was going to have to leave the life that she had known in that place, in that community. She was going to have to go and travel with someone she really didn't know. She was going to go hundreds of miles away from everything that she had grown up with to meet a man that she had never met. A whole life, a whole future would be changed in that moment when she said, yeah, I'll go. But without any hesitation, she said yes. You know, sometimes it is right to test out a calling, to take some advice, to take some time. But I think there are times when God wants us to take a bold step. And if we were to delay, if we were trying to work it all out, that actually we would miss the moment. Of course, we just need to make sure that it is God who is saying those things. And so they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies." I love the way that the Bible is full of examples of blessings that have been spoken over in individuals. I think it's something that we would do well to copy. What blessings can we speak over others, over friends and family? Of course, making sure it's not simply our wishful thinking, that we just, God, what is it that you want me to declare? What is it that you want to speak over that person? What have you in mind for that person, for their future? It's a wonderful thing to do that we have there in Scripture. And then Rebekah and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev, and he went out to a field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac, and she got down from the camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He's my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. And then the servant told Isaac all he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. And so she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I just love this story. It's one of those great love stories, isn't it? And let's not forget, it all took place as a result of what happened at that divine appointment at a well. And it came about, that journey to the well, because Abraham was determined to maintain the purity of what God had established. He was determined to resist the pressure to compromise. And there's plenty of opportunity to compromise. God has given us land individually and collectively, and the two overlap. Elements of that are physical, elements of that, the greater part, is spiritual. And we need to live with all of that in view. And we have to stand firm. And we have to look towards God to fulfill his promises. God, you have promised. How are you going to fulfill it? I think, you know, there will be times when we look back on things and we will see the way that God has weaved everything together, as was the case with Rebekah. I mean, maybe God is setting us up for a fresh divine encounter with him, for which we need to be at a well. This place is a well. We have a individual wells too, places where we meet with God, where we draw from his presence, where we draw from his spirit, where we draw from his fresh, living encounter. Maybe we need to commit, we need to recommit to acting on God's promises without compromising, resisting the temptation to compromise. Maybe we need to determine with God's help to stand firm in the situation that we find ourselves. Maybe we need to reclaim the land that God has for us, spiritual as well as physical. Maybe we need to prepare for the next generation, that they will have something greater to go on with. So, Father God, we thank you for these opportunities to meet with you, to encounter you at these wells that you have provided. Lord, I thank you for the establishment of those things. I pray, Lord, that you would enable us to draw and draw and draw again from your well of provision. I pray, Lord God, for a lifting out of that well of every drop of provision you have for us, that we would drink of you, that we would be satisfied by you. Lord, I pray that where we need to take time to sit at a well, to rest at a well, that we would do that. I pray, Lord, where you commission us afresh to go to a place to encounter you, that we would do that too. And Lord, I thank you that you are with us each turn of the way, and that you have gone before us, and you accompany us, and you will bring success to the things that you have in mind for us to do. So we bless you for it, Lord, and we just pray that you make us mindful. Lord, I pray for this place as well. And Lord, I pray that for the breakthrough in this place, that there will be a fresh drawing to come to drink and to be refreshed of you. Lord, we pray that this place will be known as a place of encounter with you, a place where people are encouraged, refreshed, redirected, and blessed. Lord, I pray for removal of the obstacles. I pray, Lord, that you would send your angels to prepare the way, to guard this well. Lord, we bless you. Lord, and may we continue to drink deeply of you today and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.